What we're going to talk about this morning, I know all of y'all know, and that's something that Paul wrote to his brethren at one time. He said, "Yet I have written you quite boldly on some points." Why, Paul? "To remind you of them again." He had already told them about it once. He said, "I'm going to do this again." And that's basically what we're doing today. We're going to go over some things that you know, that you've learned in the past, and hopefully that you practice at this time. What we want to talk about this morning is reading the Bible. Have you read your Bible lately? You know, your Bible should be the only book on your bookshelf that never needs dusting. Never needs dusting. Many people think they know God's ways but haven't read the Bible closely. God revealed the truth in Christ through scriptures. And we can know God and know Christ by close study of what God reveals about himself in Scripture. God has spoken to us. He's not silent or hidden from us. Because of Scripture, we can know what God wills for our lives. And we can know what the future holds after this life is over. We read the Scriptures so that we may know God and Jesus Christ. From the beginning to the end, the Bible opens our hearts so that we might know who created us. We can know how He is truly holy and true, and we can know how we are accountable to Him. When we do not know God, we suffer enslavement to sin and holiness. Paul reminded the Galatians in Galatians 4, verse 8, "Formerly, when you did not know God, you were enslaved to those that by nature are not gods." Psalms 19, 7 to 11 talks about the law of God and what it does for us. The psalmist says, "The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes." Continuing in verse 9 of the 19th Psalm says, "Fear the Lord is clean, enduring. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The rules of the Lord," that's the law, "the rules of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, even much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and drippings of the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is your servant warned. In keeping them, there is great reward." No other book can bless you more than the Bible, God's Word. Our reading today comes from Psalm 119, 97 to 104. And it pretty much goes the same as we read just a minute ago. It breaks down things as you go through the verse. And in this psalm, it's what the Word of God can do for you and your life that is emphasized. "Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all day. Your commandment makes me wiser than my enemies, for it is ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the aged, and I keep your precepts." In verse 101, the writer continues, "I hold back my feet from every evil way in order to keep," what? "Your word. I do not turn aside from your rules, for you have taught me. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through your precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every foul or false way." Here the psalmist is talking about the Word of God and what it can do. From the time when God first proposed to Moses to write down his words, God has always emphasized the need to read and to practice what he taught. When people have read, studied, and practiced God's written word, they were at their best and were considered blessed by God. If you read 9 chapters per day, you can read the New Testament in a month. If you read 10 chapters of the Old Testament per day, you can read it through in a little over 3 months. The Lord Jesus read scripture and preached in the synagogue. Here's what we talked about this morning in class. He took for granted the leaders and the scribes knew what God had said in the Old Testament. Anybody ought to take that for granted when you're talking to Pharisees and Sadducees. They ought to know the book. More than once, Jesus said to the Jews, "Have you never read in scriptures? Or what is written in the law? Or how do you read it?" That's from Luke 10:26. Jesus himself referred to or quoted over 120 scriptures in his messages found in the Gospels. He knew the scriptures and expected everyone to know them. God also expects us to read what stands written in the New Testament. Paul wrote in 1 Thessalonians 5:27, "I put you under oath before the Lord to have this letter read to all the brothers." He urged in Colossians 4:16, "And when this letter has been read among you, have it also read in the church of the Laodiceans, and see that you also read the letter from Laodicea." He instructed the young preacher Timothy in 1 Timothy 4:13, "Until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to exhortation and teaching." Paul recognized that what he wrote had the authority of the Lord behind it. He said in 1 Thessalonians 2 and verse 13, "For this reason we also constantly thank God that when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it, not as the word of men, but for what it really is, the word of God, which also performs its works in you who believe." After speaking about the role of women in the church, Paul made it clear in 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 37 that if anyone thinks that he is a prophet or spiritual, he should acknowledge that the things I am writing to you are a command of the Lord. Now, if the word of God stands by the Lord's authority, we should listen to it, study it, memorize it, love it, and practice it. Now, there are many reasons to read Scripture, and here are just a few. First, we read the Scripture because we need to know right from wrong. What we truly believe influences how we live and what our morals are. Sadly, because many don't know God or His Word, they live lawless lives and cause much suffering. There's a profound difference between right and wrong, good and evil, and light and darkness. To know what is right, read your Bible. Second, we read Scripture because faith comes from God, or from God's Word. Romans 10:17 says, "So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the Word of Christ." John 20, verses 30 and 31 says, "Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book." John said, "They're not written in my book," in John, in the Gospel of John. Many other signs Jesus did that are not written here. If you'll take your Bibles when you get home and go through the book of John, and write a number by every miracle that he refers to, you'll find that he only recorded 7 miracles that Jesus did during his lifetime. That's all he records, okay? Plus the resurrection. But just go through your Bibles and number those. Now let's read this again. "Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. Don't water it down to think he's talking about the whole Bible. He's talking about his gospel. Many other signs that are not written in this book, but these are written, these seven, so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ. You can do that, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. Third, we read the Bible because the scriptures give us hope. Romans 15:4 says, "For whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, that through endurance and through the encouragement of what? The scriptures, we might have hope." Where would we be were it not for the promises of God? Where would we be without the gospel, the message of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ? If you want hope, read the Bible. Fourth, we read scriptures because the Bible teaches us to love. In John 4, verse 19 says, "We love because he first loved us." There's no better example of love than that of Jesus Christ. John 15, 13 says, "Greater love has no man, has no one." Let me start again. "Greater love has no one than this, that one lay down his life for his friends." Jesus loved us by laying down his life. He suffered for us when we didn't know him or deserve to be forgiven. Yet he loved us with a great love. Because of Jesus, the scriptures teach us how to love. You recall in 1 Corinthians 13:4 to 8, "Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends." And that's how God loves, and we should love, and how we should love. Fifth, we read the scripture because the Bible gives understanding. Psalm 119, verse 130, says, "The unfolding of your words gives light. It imparts understanding to the simple." If you were here on Wednesday night when we were studying Revelation, you find that many times in the Bible, the word simple could also be translated stupid. He gives understanding to the simple. Again, Psalm 119 and 105 says, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." Your word leads me where I need to go. The Bible teaches where we come from, why we're here, and what will happen after we die. It's the only book that can teach us that. Sixth, we read scripture because the Bible contains the gospel, the good news. 1 Corinthians 15, 1-3 says, "Now I would remind you, brothers, of the gospel I preached to you, which you received, in which you stand, and by which you are being saved, if you hold fast to the word I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for your sins in accordance with the scriptures." No news could be more reassuring than this. Seventh, we read because the Bible contains the truth. In a world filled with fake news and lies, it's refreshing to have the truth. Luke wrote in Luke 1, verses 1 through 4, "Inasmuch as many have undertaken to compile a narrative of the things that have been accomplished among us," he's talking about the life of Jesus, "just as those who from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word have delivered them to us." He got the message. He got the words. He studied what he was going to write. He says in verse 3, "It seemed good to me also, having followed all things closely for some time past, to write an orderly account for you, most excellent Theophilus. Why? That you may have certainty concerning the things you have been taught. Here's what I write so that you can have certainty. You will know that it's right, what I have been taught. We need the truth because false ideas do exist. Right here, what's the old saying? Right here in River City, false ideas do exist. Paul told the elders in the church of Ephesus in Acts 20:29-32, I know that after my departure, remember he's talking to elders, I know that after my departure, fierce wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock, and from among your own selves, right out of the eldership, will arise men speaking twisted things to draw away the disciples after them. Therefore, be alert, remembering that for 3 years I did not cease night or day to admonish everyone with tears. And now I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you the inheritance among all those who are sanctified. The word. Eighth, we read and study scripture because we want to please God. Paul urged Timothy in 2 Timothy 2 in verse 59, do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who has no need to be ashamed, rightly handling the word of truth. Paul wanted Timothy to be approved of God as a workman who handled God's word correctly. When people are ignorant or they twist the scriptures to suit themselves, they're not handling the word of God faithfully or accurately. God will not approve of them, no matter who you are. Don't assume that you aren't accountable to know God's word. The Apostle Paul knew people would leave the truth, so he charged Timothy to stay true to God's word. He said in 2 Timothy 4, verses 1 to 4, I challenge you, in the presence of the God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom. He says, I charge you, preach the word. Be ready in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions, and will turn away from listening to the truth and wandering off into myths. We see people today fulfilling Paul's prophecy, turning away from the truth, and wandering off into myths, doing their own thing, really, is about what it amounts to. The way of truth is to listen to the voice of God found in Scripture, and not adding to it or taking away from it. Ninth, we read Scripture because the Word causes us to be born again and purifies our souls. Peter wrote in 1 Peter 1:22 through 25, having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth for a sincere brotherly love, love one another earnestly from a pure heart, since you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable through the living and abiding Word of God. For all flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flower of the grass. The grass withers, and the flower falls, but the word of the Lord remains forever. And this word is the good news that was preached to you. The scriptures are unalterably linked to our being born again and being saved. James 1:18 says, of his own will, he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Verse 21 explains, therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted or the engrafted or the planted word, which is able to save your souls. Now, the angel of the Lord told Cornelius to send for Peter in Acts 11 in verse 14, because he will declare to you a message by which you will be saved, you and all your household. Paul simply said in Romans 1:14-16, I am under obligation both to Greeks and to barbarians, both to the wise and the foolish. So I am eager to preach the gospel to you also who are in Rome. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Yes, the gospel causes us to be saved and to be born again to live for the Lord. 10th, we know the gospel truth today because we can read it in the New Testament. The gospel is the powerful word of God for salvation because the book of Romans says so. In fact, because the teaching and acts of Jesus and the apostles are recorded, we can know God's redemptive message about the sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ. We would not know God's new covenant commandments, his morals, or his promises if Jesus had not sent out scribes to report them. 11th, we read scripture because his words work in us. 1 Thessalonians 2:13 says, and we also thank God constantly for this, that when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it not as the word of men, but as what it really is, the word of God, which is at work in you believers. God works in and through his words on us. Finally, number 12, we read scripture because the words of God keep us strong. Psalms 1:1-3 says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He's like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. Will you read God's word? We should take God's word to heart because they are the words of God. They are God's message of love and truth. They will bless us if we listen to them. These words will stand as long as heaven and earth stand. They're not going away. These words will also judge us one day. The Lord Jesus said, the one who rejects me and does not receive my words has a judge. The word that I have spoken will judge him on the last day. The saddest thing I can imagine is to face the Lord on judgment day unprepared because you had never taken God's word seriously or learned to love him. I have been amazed at the times that I have had to read instead of doing other things, instead of playing solitaire on the computer. Take some time and read. Like I said, the Bible should never need dusting. Hebrews 2:1-3 says, therefore, we must pay much closer attention to what we have heard, lest we drift away from it. For since the message declared by angels proved to be reliable, and every transgression or disobedience received a just retribution, how shall we escape if we neglect such a great salvation? We don't want you to neglect your salvation, but to hear and obey the word of God. God's grace will save you when you hear and obey. Hebrews 5:8-9 says, although he was a son, he learned obedience through what he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation to all who obey him. Well, how do we obey? We believe. We confess the Lord Jesus. We repent. We confess the Lord Jesus as the Son of God. We repent of our sins, like I said, and be baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. That's what the Bible teaches. Listen and take it to heart today. If we can help you in any way,